Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I love soundcheck. I listen every day.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later on the show, we'll hear the band De Leon playing songs from the 500-year-old tradition of the Sephardic Jews. And you may be surprised at how randy and rockin' some of these old songs were, or are. Anyway, a 500-year tradition. That's pretty impressive, I guess. But you want to hear something really impressive? This is Italy's Enzo Avitabile and his Botari band. Botari is a 900-year-old rhythm from southern Italy. It's played on barrels, scythes, wooden vats, and whatever else was lying around the farm, apparently to scare away ghosts. But it didn't scare away Jonathan Demme. The Oscar-winning director of Silence of the Lambs and Philadelphia is a huge music fan. He did the great Talking Heads concert movie Stop Making Sense, a Robin Hitchcock documentary, and a trio of Neil Young films. Last year, he went to Naples to make a movie about this Italian musician. Now that film is out, and it's called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. JD, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, Enzo Avitabile is an unusual choice. I mean, Talking Heads, Neil Young, these are acts with big fans, large fan bases. What drove you to this obscure Italian musician?
Well, in a way, John, it's all your fault. I was driving home one night. New Sounds came on. It was New Sounds from Naples. And mm-hmm. You led off with Enzo Avitabile. I'd never heard of him. And I became obsessed with his music immediately.
So what was it? I mean, you hear lots of music. Something about his music reached out and grabbed you. What was that?
Yeah. Well, I think the extraordinary musical tapestry, for starters, right in my comfort zone. Just all the tremendous rhythm, all this other stuff going on. And Enzo's voice, I didn't know what he was singing about, but I loved the feeling, not just the quality of the signal, but the feeling behind the voice really spoke to me. And it was interesting a couple of years later to discover what he's singing about.
Which
and no
is,
wonder it's moving.
But which is what, in essence?
The human condition, the plight of children all over the world, the desperate need for peace. He's just a shameless humanist who manages to make it all very palatable and profound sometimes.
And in fact, the first kind of major performance that we see in the film is Enzo Avitabile with Eliades Ochoa,
yes.
Great Cuban singer. And the kind of repeating line that he sings here is, "Nobody is nobody's child."
Sotto terra Bucarest, sniffano la colla rende busta, bagatati invece ancora un coppe mura, stanno azzeccati a schizzare e le guaiù, rinni di favela tutta la pazzata, stelle sgravugliate luna ma bucciata, persi che ne venire mamma africana, sporca chi ne fama non arrivano a di mare, e tutte quelle son che creature, nessuno è figlia e nessuno, e tutte nate dall'amore, si sa come si nasce ma non sa come si muore. E tutte quelle son che creature, nessuno è figlio, nessuno.
El llanto de un niño me entristece, no puedo verle llorar. El llanto de un niño me entristece. No puedo verle llorar. Su sonrisa da alegría.
That is Eliades Ochoa of Cuba singing and playing a sort of guitar-like instrument with Enzo Avitabile, who is the subject of Jonathan Demme's new film called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. Enzo, in this song, Jonathan, is playing what looks like the world's tiniest guitar. It's you know, it, except he's holding it like a lyre. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It is, it's an arpeta, and it's the smallest harp in the world. Hmm. It's, again, it's Enzo reaching deep, deep, way back in time to resurrect an instrument which he kind of personally designed. The one he's playing is his creation.
Hmm.
He gets a lot out of that little thing, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. So he's got Eliades Ochoa from Cuba here. Elsewhere, you were there for a week, you said, right?
Yes.
So during the course of this week, he's bringing in some incredible musicians, some of the big names in world music from Armenia, Pakistan, Mauritania, Iraq, Spain.
India.
Did he set this up?
Yes. Yes, this was his choice. It was when we had this kind of like sort of clean slate, we could do whatever we wanted. And I said, let's try to find your Naples, the one the tourists don't get to see. Let's try to meet the Neapolitan people. And he said, well, would you like me to fly in some musicians to play with? And he sent me this list, and I think I was supposed to choose three or something. And I said, bring them all in. And it was extraordinary because we didn't know what anything was going to sound like. There were no rehearsals. We were just there ready to try to capture as best we could. Whatever magic happened, it was really exciting.
How well known is he in Naples and in Italy in general?
He's very well known in Naples. I think he's very much a favored son. Throughout the country, less so. There are pockets of people outside his hometown loving. How did you, if I may ask, come across Enzo?
Because his record came across my desk, the way I find all that kind of stuff. But there's a really striking scene in your film where you're in Naples and Enzo comes across an old man doing his exercises and they introduce themselves to each other. And the old man says, your avant-garde music is spectacular. And I just thought, avant-garde? This guy is like going back centuries to like mine the ancient rhythms and rituals of Italy. It's like this is like folk music, and yet to this guy it seemed avant-garde.
Well, I believe what he meant was that Enzo's reaching deep into ancient rhythms and instruments, but now he's applying them in a what we call world music way, mm-hmm. which is quite avant-garde. It's an extraordinary collision of world music and traditional music of all sorts.
The film is called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. My guest, Jonathan Demme, did the film just about a year ago. It is screening tomorrow afternoon at IFC on 6th Avenue, West 4th Street. And we'll be doing a little Q&A thing afterwards. So that's tomorrow at 4:30, the film Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. We both first fell in love, Jonathan, with his Botari stuff. This mm-hmm. is those. That's the South Italian rhythms. Using like farming, like barrels and scythes
yes.
as percussion instruments. He mentions it in passing a couple of times in the film. We don't really see a lot of that, although there's this Black Madonna song that he does that comes close. And this is, well, let's listen. This is from the film, Enzo Avitabile, Music Life.
Madonna ner, Madonna ner. Prianna lusone gisto tambur Prianna, Prianna sulla mai sur Prianna, Prianna sulla mai sur Sulla mai sur, save save A fanu vuta pena ferit, pena ferit che sa da sanare. E buona ver, buona caresti, e mo sorriebbe da mo e poco un tri, e mo è paura tua, e mo è paura mia. Mamma schiavon, turca e marrucchi, nire figlie guerra clandestina.
That is Enzo Avitabile, the Italian singer, sax player, songwriter, composer. The subject of the new documentary by my guest Jonathan Demme. And that's a song to the Black Madonna, which is this kind of ancient sort of Earth Mother tradition with a thin veneer of Christianity laid over the top. So that's deeply rooted stuff too.
Definitely. Enzo was inspired by the profound influence of church music on African American music. And he was a sideman for James Brown and Richie Havens and various amazing people.
There's
Tina
photos
Turner.
Of him with Africa Bambaataa and James Brown.
And I think this notion of drawing deeply from your kind of religious past and kind of channeling the spirituality and power there into a more modern idiom resulted in this great song. And that's kind of what Enzo is all about, this mm-hmm. whole, and all these musicians, they believe very much that humanity is best expressed by ignoring borders.
But he also walks a fine line between ignoring borders and being aware of where he comes from. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the film is about you following Enzo out of Naples proper and back to his hometown, this original village.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask you about how this movie was made, because it's real cinema verite. You know, there's this old woman who says to Enzo, what are you doing here? And he says, a film.
I know.
I mean, you're kind of breaking the fourth wall there, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was very exciting. I was working with two fantastic cameramen, a wonderful Italian cameraman, and Charlie Libin from Brooklyn came over. And these guys can just capture whatever's going on. They've got mm-hmm. great eyes, great energy. They love music. They can feel what's going to happen next. And it was great to go down there to Marianella, and I felt like we had entered kind of a great kind of Fellini movie from the 50s or something. The quote-unquote characters, i.e. the real people of Marianella, were so fantastic
mm-hmm.
and so charming and so ready to improvise for us.
And one older woman is almost bumping into the camera as the camera is. I mean, it's just full of little home movie touches like that. It was really kind of unusual and interesting to see. In a later song in the film where he's playing with Dabi Touré from Mauritania, you actually see the second cameraman getting into position next to Dabi Touré as he's playing the guitar. And then sure enough, we cut to that shot. So, were you intentionally sort of making the process a part of the film?
Well, I felt that we should be completely open to letting the process become part of the film. That, you know, you can put a lot of energy into trying to tailor your shots to exclude the other camera or the sound person. And it's not as though the viewer doesn't know that they were filming there.
Right.
So, and I like that too, because I think it kind of like, I think there's something very beautiful about filming music. These two different persuasions coming together always really thrills me. So to visualize that a little bit, I thought that would be quite nice, because we're now collaborating with the musicians. We're trying as best we can to capture exactly what it is they're going for.
Right. It's a neat moment in the film. Again, the film is Enzo Avitabile, Music Life, by my guest Jonathan Demme. And this is the song that Enzo Avitabile does with Dabi Touré from Mauritania.
E la confonne nav, arrugginisce e cade, e valigi go spav, e paura raie. Canco e molula, toro e moluca, nelle lene munea. Gianca e moluca, gioia e moluca, in la menina e munutila. Ale e benizale ne dana 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 tu yamane mana. Rindas du frita gafa, ho vienda gaber, ho vienda gafa, mani mani, sottanu cele zulu, ho vienda pa sempre, ho vienda ma giù, becalo come l'ulendela, a chi liti che lendi, becalo, becalo come l'ulendela. A kelenti, kelenti, kelenti.
That is Dabi Touré of Mauritania playing the guitar and singing with Italy's Enzo Avitabile. That is from Jonathan Demme's film, Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. It's screening tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 at the IFC, the Independent Film Center, on 6th and Fourth Street and Sixth Avenue. And we'll be doing a little Q&A afterwards as well. Will there be a soundtrack to this?
I'm sure, inevitably, yes. Okay. Yes, I think that it'll probably come out in Italy first, but there will be.
Now, about a year ago, the actor John Turturro did a film about music in Naples, which he called Passione.
Yes.
And one of the things that surprised me about that film, and which is echoed in your film, is how much Mount Vesuvius still looms so large to the Neapolitan people.
Mm-hmm.
Did that surprise you?
Well, I didn't have time to be surprised by that because from the moment you arrive in Naples, there it is, Mount Vesuvius. You can't escape it. And you find yourself looking for it all the time. I mean, just like, well, my generation, I grew up watching movies about the lava flowing down. Mm. And so it's just indelible. That's and, of course, Enzo's song about the eruption of Vesuvius. Who would have thought that could be such a gripping song? I think the lyrics come from the diary of someone.
It's Pliny the Younger,
yes.
I think, talking about Pliny the Elder's experience of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Right. Well, you know about Pliny the Elder?
I took Latin in high school.
Wow.
I did my time with the Plinys, elder and younger.
Very impressive.
But I've spent a lot of time in more recent years listening to people like Hossein Alizadeh from Iran and the great Armenian duduk player Jivan Gasparian, both of whom are on this song with Enzo Avitabile. Once again, from the film Enzo Avitabile, Music Life.
A preparate una liburna, che stia lettere un'amica, per chi stia casa là, a nav, l'unica via. Non vola ianca, non vola sporca, non vola terra, che non bussa poco. Non vola prete, non vola fuoco, non vola cenere.
Enzo Avitabile with a plethora of great world music guests and a song about Mount Vesuvius from Jonathan Demme's film called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. We'll continue our conversation with Jonathan Demme and talk a bit more broadly about how he has used music in his career over the years. Enzo Avitabile, not the only one reaching back through the centuries for music. We'll have a live performance later from the band De Leon, giving us an updated version of some 500-year-old Sephardic songs. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're back with filmmaker Jonathan Demme. His latest work is a documentary about the Italian musician Enzo Avitabile, but his obsession with music goes way back. He directed the music video for this song by New Order back in 1985. And a year before that, he released the groundbreaking concert movie Stop Making Sense, starring the band Talking Heads. Jonathan, do you mind me using the word obsession? I mean, are you obsessed with music?
I guess I am. I think many of us are, and I'm one of them.
Now, when you say many of us, do you mean many filmmakers? Or
no, I think many. I feel like we are so from our earliest days, we're just subjected to so much music, and I think many of us are obsessed with music, but we don't really know it.
Mm.
You know it because you do a show about it and you live it and I film it.
I have met kindred spirits in directors who are very attuned to the sound of their movies in addition to the sight, the visuals. Are you a musician yourself?
No. I'm one of those without people to listen to musicians, there'd be no point in making music. I never got that together.
Yeah.
My son's a terrific guitar player and a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
All right. But do you like working with musicians?
Oh yeah, I love it. I love it because I'm an enthusiastic worker, and when I find myself around musicians whose work I love, I think I kind of become part of the band for a minute.
Well, you've actually cast, Robin Hitchcock is in
your movie, The Manchurian Candidate.
Yes.
Not a huge role, but it's a crucial role, and he's great in it.
Well, he's an amazing
guy. Did you cast that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I did a performance film with Robin called Storefront Hitchcock, and we became friends. And Robin loves movies. He's very cinematic. But also in Rachel Getting Married, he's one of the guests at the wedding, and he performs a couple of songs. One of them backed up, by the way, my son is backing him up on guitar while Robin's singing and playing, along with other musicians.
It's good to be the king.
Oh, man, it's exciting. It's exciting. It has its moments.
Now, let me ask you about Stop Making Sense. I mean, that was a watershed moment for you, but also for the idea of concert films in general. I mean, did you go into it thinking, I am going to change the way people think about concert movies?
You know, my dear old buddy Gary Getzman and I went to see the show. We weren't thinking anything about movies. And as that show unfolded, you could see, I felt I could see that this was a movie waiting to be filmed. All the work that David had put into this kind
David
of narrative.
Byrne, yeah.
Yeah. And the sense of character that was present in him, this visualization of this community of players, men, women, black, white, everything. The lighting, so exquisite, and just like, wow, it's a movie waiting to be filmed. So we contacted David Byrne, and the next thing we knew, we got the money to shoot it from Warner Records. And no, it was just like, you know, we were trying to capture the magic. We had extraordinary shooters. And we had the great, great Jordan Cronenweth as the director of photography. And it's just really kind of an amazing crew turned up to capture that moment.
It's interesting you use the word community talking about the show. You know, it was the Talking Heads plus a cast of hundreds. Because that community builds over the course of the show and therefore the film. It actually begins with David Byrne out on stage by himself with a boombox.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous, can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Puffy, 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 run, 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 run. You start a conversation, you can't even finish it. You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, why say it again? Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
From the movie Stop Making Sense, starring the band Talking Heads, that's Psycho Killer, David Byrne with guitar and boombox. The film by Jonathan Demme, made back in 1984, will be followed by a bunch of other documentaries, many of them music-related, and of course the feature films. Jonathan, do you use music differently in feature films? I mean, has it ever happened that a scene or a set of directions has come to you from listening to a song?
I know that there's been times when we made Something Wild, Susanna Parikh, who's the great, great music editor that I work with on all films, we decided that it would be exciting and challenging to try to score the whole movie with source cues, with previously existing songs. And we thought we could tell the story through the different idioms that come into play. And that dovetailed into the live performance. So, of course, we've got the great honor of having the Feelies play our high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really when the Feelies show up on stage is also when Ray shows up, played by Ray Liotta. And now the music in the film shifts from reggae and Afrocentric music with its warmth and generosity to electric guitar takes over now in the movie as the film turns dark.
Right. So the music is actually an emotional signpost as well for a change in
definitely
the complexion of the film.
Yeah. And also we played, we would always waste a take by playing a song for Jeff and Melanie, Jeff Daniels and Melanie Griffith.
So you wanted the actors to know what it was going to sound like in addition to what
yes.
it was going to look
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm. Because the music, when you hear music, it affects your mood, it affects your behavior and your attitude. So they were able to they knew exactly how to play the scene because this music was washing over them.
Well, I remember the first time I saw Silence of the Lambs, the thing that struck me, I mean, with all due respect to the acting, which is fine, and the cinematography is great and stuff, was the songs. Mm. I mean, bands like Savage Republic, who I thought, nobody knows this band. What are they doing? I can clearly hear them in the background there. I mean, extraordinary use of music, and especially with, the evildoer, in his lair, in his home. You hear this stuff, and it is kind of an emotional signpost. How did you have that music in mind before shooting, or did you go and find it afterwards?
I think in that case, we Susanna and I searched for that stuff, and it's true. There's that kind of like that exquisite anxiety that's produced by bands like Savage Republic or The Fall, and this becomes another way for us to heighten just the viewer's anxiety. Hopefully, by we're on top of this dire situation. Here's the music that we're
right. But here's the great part about Silence of the Lambs is that perhaps the most anxious moment in the film is set to one of the big pop hits of the day when the girl is driving down the road and she's singing along to this song by Tom Petty. Yes, Tom Petty's American Girl, about as sunny a piece of music, Jonathan Demme, as you could have picked.
Well,
but you just know something bad has got to happen.
Well, there were two things about it. Brooke Smith played that part so wonderfully. And here's a character who, within 1 minute of meeting her, she's plunged into horrendous circumstances. So my feeling was we have, this tiny window to show her vibrancy and her upside. And that song really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And Tom Petty refused our request. I went back to him. He refused it again. It was a blanket refusal at that time. He wasn't permitting any of his songs to be in movies. And the time was coming close for us to shoot the scene. And, of course, Brooke lip-syncs to the song, as we all do as we drive around town. And we went back a
Some
third...
Some of us do more than lip-sync. Some of us are actually belting while we drive. I don't know about you, Jonathan.
No, you're absolutely right. Yes. She comes in on the chorus, actually. But finally, on a third time, he relented and let us... have it. I think we probably sent him the script and told him the context and all that kind of thing. I didn't speak to him directly, but this would have all been through his folks.
We're speaking with Jonathan Demme. His latest movie is Enzo Avitabile, Music Life, which is screening tomorrow, the documentary we were talking about earlier, tomorrow at IFC at 4:30 p.m. The idea that Tom Petty had just made a blanket refusal to have his music used in films, you wouldn't have that today. I mean, today, film placement is like what everybody is shooting for when they make a record, when they make a song. Every film seems to now have a music consultant on board. It's become such an important part of making and marketing a film. Do you see that as a good thing?
Sure. I mean, it's again, the song by song, it's a tool that the filmmakers can use to heighten the involvement of the viewer if they're making the right choices. And it can be great for the artist. One of the things that I like to do now that I'm sort of like, especially on a lower budget movie like Rachel Getting Married, is to say, we need 20 songs and we can afford $500 a song. And we go to Brooklyn. And it's kind of like it's a nice gateway. I think it's probably good on a band, a hardworking band trying to achieve a niche. They can put that on their resume. They're in a movie,
right? And do you do that, or do you have a music consultant?
Yeah, music consultants do that. Yeah.
Well, then let me be your music consultant for a moment here.
Oh.
Last week, in the wake of Hurricane Sandy, we were talking on the phone, and I asked you. We did that special extended soundcheck program last week about songs that got people through tough times, and I asked you for a song, and you mentioned Robert Wyatt, the English singer, doing a version of that old Chic song.
At Last I Am Free.
At Last I Am Free, thank you. And when you mentioned Robert Wyatt, I asked you, well, have you heard the Unthanks sing Robert Wyatt? And you had not heard of the Unthanks. So I want to play for you these sisters from Newcastle, England, Rachel and Becky Unthank. This was recorded live in some English church, and it's their version of Robert Wyatt's Sea Song. Unthanks, Rachel and Becky Unthank and their band, and a version of Robert Wyatt's Sea Song from a live album called Diversions. Jonathan Demme, what do you think?
That's extraordinary.
The harmonies are...
Oh, yeah. And just, well, the whole tapestry is amazing. And it's incredible how it's the same song, and they do it, I think, brilliantly one way. Robert Wyatt does it brilliantly a whole other way.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that is the beauty of music is, you know, it's a malleable thing. And you, throughout your career, have taken pieces and have sort of molded them to fit your needs as a filmmaker. In the case of the music documentaries, the music is already molded. And I guess that's a different thing, right? You have to mold the film to fit the music. That was sort of what you were talking about with Stop Making Sense.
Well, what we do is we have to capture as best we can on behalf of potential viewers what's going on in their life, because the greatest music movie in the world can't compete with live music. There's nothing like being in the room, I think, with someone actually doing it. So
who has blown your mind lately that you've seen live?
Oh, well, I came into New York and saw Gary Clark Jr.,
the blues guitarist.
Yeah, and I'm ashamed to say I was not aware of him. And a friend of mine called me up a couple of weeks ago and said, you are going to come with me to hear this guy play. And I was like, okay, hadn't been out for a while. And he just devastated me. What a great, great player. Amazing.
All right. So Gary Clark Jr. doing it for Jonathan Demme. But so does Enzo Avitabile, the Italian musician, subject of the new documentary Enzo Avitabile Music Life, screening tomorrow at the IFC at 4:30 p.m. JD, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jonathan. What a treat. Thank you so much.
Jonathan Demme on Soundcheck.
Things don't change around here. Ain't no use in me hanging around. Hanging around.
Coming up, the centuries-old sounds of Sephardic Jewish music in a style that might keep you dancing today. The group De Leon joins us in our studio.
Got some time? What the heck? Why not listen to Soundcheck?
That one is uplifting. Makes me want to listen.
Yeah.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If I say Spain, 1492, you'll probably think Christopher Columbus sailing to the New World. But Columbus wasn't the only one leaving Spain that year. 1492 saw the mass expulsion of the country's Jews. They fled to North Africa, Greece, Turkey, and they became known as Sephardic Jews, from the Hebrew name for Spain. They brought with them a long history of singing, and now, 500 years later, the band De Leon has updated many of those songs for a modern rock and world music audience. De Leon is here in the Soundcheck studio now to play for us an old Sephardic song called Bar Minan.
Una hija boba tengo,
Bar Minan.
Me la llaman del Jurep,
Bar Minan.
Cuando salen a la plaza, me la hacen que pase, me la hacen que pase, me la hacen que pase.
Bar Minan, an old Sephardic Jewish song in a new arrangement by the band De Leon, live on Soundcheck. The band led by singer and banjo player and kazooist, briefly there, Dan Sachs, who joins me at the microphone, Kevin Snyder on bass, Amy Crawford on keyboards, Andrew Ohm on trumpet, all of them singing as well, Jay Sawyer behind our drum kit. Dan Sachs, to you and the rest of De Leon, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Bar Minan, where does that song come from?
It's coming from Turkey, and there's also some Greek lyrics in there. The main language in the song is Ladino.
Ladino is to Spanish, I guess, what Yiddish is to German, right?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And then within the diaspora, to the different countries that it went to, it picked up a little bit from here and there. So. Mm-hmm. Hence a little bit of Turkish, a little bit of Greece. But one of those verses I've read was added when those communities came to New York. And the third verse has a line about Rivington Street in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Sung in Ladino.
Sung in Ladino. So it talks about, you see the girls down on Rivington Street, kind of, you know, the way they wiggle when they walk down the street, which I guess was kind of a surprise to the newcomers.
Bar Minan, you know?
Bar Minan.
Not for me.
Exactly.
That's what the phrase means, something like that, right?
Yeah,
it's a way
heaven
of warding.
Forbid, keep it away, something
right,
like that, yeah.
Right. So these Sephardic songs, as the Jews left Spain, mm-hmm. and went to Turkey or Greece or Algeria or Morocco, did the songs begin to take on characteristics of the host countries?
Yeah, you definitely hear Turkish influences in the songs that come from Turkey. We have a song on the new record called Uskudara, which is an old Turkish folk song.
Right.
But we also have a song on the first two records that have that same melody that are coming from kind of different places. So, you know, yeah, they definitely pick up a little bit of the culture that surrounded them in each place that it ended up.
And so perhaps appropriately, little hints of mariachi culture, Appalachia. You're playing the banjo. I mean, you know.
This is sort of the mission of the band, is that why have these songs, you know, stopped? It's like as if the diaspora, like, ended in one country some couple hundred years ago. But it didn't. I mean, I live in Mexico now, so why shouldn't there be a little bit of that mariachi or norteño sound kind of making its way into the music?
Now, why have these songs endured through not just centuries, but you know, expulsions and, you know, people being forced out of their homes repeatedly over the years?
Well, if you're forced out of your home, you put what you can in your pockets. And, you know.
And the rest you keep up here.
The rest you keep.
I'm tapping my head, folks.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the song's, it's something you can bring from your home. I mean, quite literally. That's mm-hmm. not even a corny answer. That's the truth.
Right.
Something to remind you from home.
So how did you get interested in this body of work?
I got turned on to the songs, I guess, relatively late for a Sephardic person. It's not like these were lullabies that my mother sang me, but I started listening to them kind of in high school, and I was exposed to a musician in the D.C. area where I grew up, who is a cantor from Argentina, who was doing sort of traditional versions of the songs, cantor Ramon Tassat. And they just struck me as, you know, still beautiful and still worthy of being recorded, and I wanted to kind of get my hands on them and kind of figure out how they would sound if I sang them. So, I mean, it was still a few years after that, but then kind of once I started digging into it, I just got more and more in love with the music.
So this, the Sephardim, this is in your family heritage mm-hmm. somewhere. If you go far enough back, you have ancestors who were...
Well, my mother's side of the family is Sephardic, and the name De Leon comes from that side of the family. So her family, presumably, after the Spanish Inquisition, went to Italy. World War II came to America,
mm-hmm.
and now the family's just kind of keeping our fingers crossed that we could stick around for a little while.
Right, right. We're speaking with Dan Sachs, listening to the band De Leon. The album's called Tremor Fantasma. Mm. I'll ask you about that title in a little bit, Dan.
Exotic.
But do you want to do another song for us?
Sure.
Now this one, the title Bre Sarika almost sounds Balkan. We're going to do La Serena next. We can get to the other one later. So La Serena, where is this song from?
This one, as far as I know, is Spanish. I mean, it's definitely in Ladino, and it's a sort of metaphor-laden song if the sea were made of milk and all this kind of beautiful poetic language. This one, the lyrics, some of them you'll find that we translated into English because I just thought that they sounded good that way also, mm-hmm. And the melody is an original melody, but... The theme and the spirit of the song, I think, is same as it ever was.
Okay, let's hear it. La Serena is the name of it. You'll find it on the latest album by the band De Leon. They're playing Saturday night at Joe's Pub at 11 o'clock. The band is here in our soundcheck studio. Here's De Leon with La Serena.
Whoa, I would fish for my pay. your love.
I will die within your.
That's called La Serena. Once again, the band De Leon performing live on Soundcheck. Their latest album is called Tremor Fantasma, a collection of Sephardic Jewish songs that have survived in the diaspora in North Africa, the Eastern Mediterranean. La Serena, originally, Dan was telling us, from Spain. Some of those lyrics were translated into English. Were some of them also new lyrics? The bit about the gun, for example, or is that really in the original song?
Who even remembers anymore? These are folk songs that just, things keep getting added and taken away.
Right.
I don't even know what I've added anymore.
But what you've done with this album is a little different from the first two De Leon records. I understand you actually sort of crowdsourced the set list for this record.
That is exactly what we did. I made a video kind of inviting the community of Sephardic music enthusiasts at large to add songs, other recordings of Sephardic folk songs that they loved and wanted to hear getting the De Leon treatment to a collaborative playlist on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
What I was counting on is that, one, that there I could reach this sort of niche music group of music lovers throughout the world. Two, that there would be enough of them that are, technologically savvy enough to have Spotify and mm-hmm. not be turned off by the term collaborative playlist. the Venn diagram of that includes, both of those groups. And then I guess there's a third circle, people that, give a damn about participating in something with De Leon. But we ended up with 20-odd submissions, and all the tracks on the album came from that list.
So some of them are, we heard a little bit of Yarabon Alam at the top of the session here today.
Mm-hmm.
That's, as Sephardic songs go, I've seen a number of other recordings of that.
Yeah.
But most of this record, you're not doing the hits. There's no Cuando el Rey Nimrod. There's no Una Marca de Ruda. Uh-huh. It seems like you're getting a little into – you're doing deeper cuts.
Well, exactly. And that was kind of the goal in doing it this way. So both of those songs are on our last record. And this is our third album. And the first two albums are more –
you did the hits already.
We did the hits. Okay. And now we're trying to dig in the crates a little bit more. And so I knew that kind of turning it to just whomever, that I would end up with some submissions that I might not know, that I wouldn't think about recording, and it definitely turned out that way.
Mm-hmm. So let me come back to the title that I was trying to wrap my teeth around earlier, Bresarica.
Mm.
Is this one of the ones that, somebody mentioned that you had not been familiar with before?
I hadn't heard this song before, but there are numerous recordings, and even by artists that I know, it just had sort of slipped my attention for whatever reason.
And the name here, this doesn't sound like Ladino. What language is
Bresarica,
this?
Bresarica Bre. No, the song is in Ladino. Bresarica Bre means like, hold up, Sarica. Sarica is the name, like Sarah. Hold up, Sarah, hold up. It's a guy who's kind of like hitting on a girl. And she's not like having it, so it's just back and forth.
That seems to be a running theme in a lot of these songs.
I'm thinking, why bother writing new songs about that same theme when
these 500-year-old things are still around and still vital, apparently.
I'm very much in favor of recycling. I think that it could save our planet.
All right, Bresarica is the name of this song. It's another live performance here in the studio by the band De Leon. Once again, their new album called Tremor Fantasma. They're playing tomorrow night at 11 o'clock at Joe's Pub. They're here in the Soundcheck studio with the song Bresarica.
Bresarica, bre, tráeme un poco de agua. Bresarica, bre, tráeme un poco de agua.
Start
descansan aros yo en mayo, me se hiela el pie, me se hiela el pie.
Bresa rica, bre, linda y sabrosica. Bresa rica, bre, linda y sabrosica. Yo te voy a mercar zapatos duros.
The song is called Bre Sarika, a bit of Sephardic Jewish music in De Leon style. Dan Sachs and the band performing live for us here in the Soundcheck studio. The record is Tremor Fantasma. The band is De Leon, and they've been with us here in the Soundcheck studio. New versions of some of these centuries-old Sephardic songs. It's great stuff. And Dan, to you and the band, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us. We love this show.
This is Soundcheck. That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tune in on Monday at 9 for a conversation with Michael Feinstein. The American songbook fanatic joins us to talk about his new book, The Gershwins and Me, A Personal History in 12 Songs. And you won't hear standards when pianist Neil Cowley joins us with his trio. He played on the multi-platinum selling album 21 by Adele, including the mega hit Rolling in the Deep. We'll hear the solo side of Neil Cowley in our studio. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC and New York Public Radio. Our production team includes
Katie Bishop,
Mike Katziff,
Greta Cohn,
Paul Schneider,
Irene Trudell,
Bill O'Neill.
I'm Jason Isaac, and I can say my own name.
Our interns are Ashanta Jackson, Crystal Kim, and Harrison Knowles. Our senior producer is
Joel Meyer.
I'm John Schaefer. You're welcome. Tune in again weeknights at 9 for another Soundcheck.